All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here on 303 Wacker on the 18th floor. It is Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for 2 for Tuesday. We are going to be, because of who my first guest is this morning, a little bit later on, we're going to talk about some of the best stand-up specials and stand-up films of all time. We got a bunch of other stuff. Dan's going to throw a quiz. Dan and Esmeralda are going to throw a quiz my way. We're going to play a little music IQ and much more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And you can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Okay. In studio with me right now is a man I've known for a long time. He is the vice president of Zany's Comedy Club, it's celebrating the 40th anniversary this year, if you can believe that. And we want to welcome back to the show, Bert Haas. Bert, how are you?
Great, Nick. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here. I love talking with you.
I appreciate it, you know, and it's always a lot of fun. But 40 years.
Yes.
I mean, you guys have been
that was before you were born, wasn't it?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That's kind of you to say. It's funny because... this is like an institution. Zany's is an institution, and time just flies by, and so in 78. Now you didn't show up until when it opened. It opened in 1978.
The club opened November of 1978. Mm-hmm. I started at Zany's in February of 1980,
mm-hmm.
and not as the executive vice president. And by the way, I'm the executive vice president because it gives the impression there's more than one vice president.
There's a lot of people involved behind the scenes.
Yes, yes.
A lot of people involved behind the scenes.
I started as a waiter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so who opened the club?
Rick Hewitt.
Right.
Rick Hewitt is the owner of the club, mm-hmm. was the owner before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he started the club, had this idea that we're going to do stand-up comedy. Of course, there were the Comedy Store and the improv in New York, the Comedy Store in L.A.
Right.
And so there was this idea, well, let's try this in Chicago.
Right.
Then I started in 1980, and as you may recall, it was a tough economic time. Some of the younger kids in the audience may not remember that we were in the middle of a terrible recession.
Right.
And so the first couple, 3 years, it was pretty tough going.
Mm-hmm.
We had trouble getting people in the doors. And it wasn't until about 1983 or 1984 where all of a sudden there was this big comedy boom and people were like, hey, this could work.
Yeah. Yeah. The comedy boom, the comedy boom of the 80s was just nuts. And
yes.
Then when it really did take off, there were like 15 comedy clubs in Chicago.
At one time, there were 17 full-time comedy
clubs. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
God. And you guys are still there.
Knock on wood.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, you guys are doing a year-long celebration here.
Yes. Throughout the year, we have two series that I'm very proud of, two performer series. One is what we call the Legends of Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And these are comedians that really have outgrown Zany's. They really should be in concert, but because of the relationships we've developed with them, they've come back and they're doing one night or two nights with us.
Yeah.
And so we've had, as an example, Richard Lewis and mm-hmm. Marshall Warfield and Gilbert Gottfried. And coming up, we have Frank Caliendo and Daryl Hammond and some of the other people that you wouldn't expect to see. And it's a great treat to be able to see them in a small 100-seat room.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It really is. It's great. I know you guys have a great relationship with Richard Lewis. That's a pretty special relationship you guys have. He was there near the beginning, right?
Yes. He was one of our first comics that we brought in back in 1982.
Mm-hmm. And he's still going strong.
Yeah, he's amazing. And every time I see him, I've known Richard now for almost 40 years, and every time I see him, all he does is complain about his health.
that's shocking.
Yeah.
That's shocking. So for the first few years, now you opened originally the one location, which is, of course, on
Wells Street, right? The original location.
In Old Town.
Mm-hmm.
It opened up, and you said it'd take a few years to go. Who were some of the first comedians? When you were waiting tables, who were some of the people that you saw there?
The very first comedian on the very first show
mm-hmm.
was Emo Phillips.
Is that right?
Yes, but he was not Emo Phillips at that time. He was still using his name of Phil Sultanic.
Oh, okay.
And then he went through a number of other names and changes before he became the Emo that we know today.
Was his act different than did he do the Emo thing?
Not to that degree.
Right.
It was still evolving.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a great guy. I've had him on the show many
emo,
times.
And as part of the anniversary, we're bringing him back,
mm.
and he's going to be there in November.
Oh, that's great. That's really great.
Paul Kelly was on the first show. Brian Schmidt and Larry Rand.
Okay. And that was the lineup.
That was the original show.
That was the original show in 1978.
Right.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You guys have sort of a batch of people that have been a part of Zanies for a really long time.
Yes.
Like Vince Moranto, who is a friend of the show.
Right. Vince Moranto, John DeCasse, Sally Edwards, who, as you know, is made the mistake of marrying
That's
the executive
right.
vice president of Zanies. we can't hold that against her.
Did you meet her at the club?
Yes, yes, we met at the club.
That's how you met.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
everything is tied up in Zanies.
You know, there's a number of what we call the Zanies love couples. Mm-hmm. Sally and myself, mm-hmm. Carla Felicia and Paul Gilmartin, mm-hmm. Danny Storts, and oh my God, now I've forgotten his wife's name. This is so embarrassing.
That's okay.
Sharon Sparks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So of course, another person that I want to mention is the show that sometimes precedes me, and that's Patty Vasquez.
Of course, Patty is regular.
Patty's
been there for a number of years,
right. And she's great. And you let me get up on your stage for a couple of years.
It was fun.
I was doing once a month thing.
Well, the radio, your audience knows this. You are a marvelous storyteller.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
yeah, it was fun.
Stand-up comedian, yeah, but a marvelous storyteller.
I remember the first night because I called you up and I was like, I was going through a divorce and I was like looking to like see if I could make a little money here and there and stuff. And I was like, hey, you know, can I come down and maybe host one night? And you were like, yeah, come on down on Wednesday night. I come down and Pat McGann is there and he's emceeing and you go, why don't you just do 10 minutes? I went, what? And talk about throwing me into the deep end of the pool. You're like, just go up and do 10. And I'm like, all right. I thought I was just going to do an MC thing.
No, all kidding aside, you were great. I love listening to your show.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, so you guys are having celebrations all
I'm sorry. So the second performer series that I'm very proud of is what we're calling the Up Next series.
Okay.
And what this is, these are the people that we think are going to be the legends in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say, if you had come to Zanies for our 30-year anniversary 10 years ago, some of the comedians that you would have seen on the Zanies stage would have been Bill Burr.
Wow.
Craig Robinson, Hannibal Buress, Kevin Hart.
Wow.
And so I think we have a pretty good
track record.
Yeah, and those are only some of the comedians you would have seen that
year. Yeah.
And so we're picking some of the people this year. We're saying, well, these are the people that 10 years from now you're going to go, wow, we had a chance to see them in a 100-seat room.
Yeah. Now, what do you think is so special about – okay, now, obviously, you guys had locations in Vernon Hills, which that one
right.
closed down.
And we currently have locations in St. Charles mm-hmm. and Rosemont, and, of course, our club in Nashville, Tennessee.
And Nashville, right. Let me just say this. I know that that room that you guys have in Rosemont is unbelievable.
Oh, thank you.
That is a real. I mean, I love all of your spaces, but you guys did a great job because it's the newest one.
Yes,
and that is a beautiful room to see.
Thank you.
A great room to see comedy. And Rosemont, man, that place is blown up, hasn't it?
Yes, the mayor is very business aggressive,
to say the least.
Yeah,
so that's cool. Now, what is it about the room on Wells though? What is it? Because it's a magical room. It really is. What do you think it is?
It's a long, narrow room. So all the focus is toward the front of the room where the stage is. There's not a lot of action on the sides. So you're focused on the stage.
Right.
It's like the old movie theaters that were long and narrow.
Mm-hmm.
It has a low ceiling, which is always good. It captures the laughs. And then it has a lot of hard surfaces, which makes it reverberate. And I don't know what it is, Nick. It's just one of those rooms. Man, when that room rocks, when the comedian's on, boy, Kevin Hart once said, he goes, well, of course, in this room, you can't help but laugh because the guy next to you, he starts laughing. Then the guy next to you, whose elbow's in your side, he's laughing. He goes, yeah, and then pretty soon you're laughing whether you think the guy's funny or not.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is a really great place to see comedy. Especially, you know, like you're talking about bringing back some of the bigger names. It's incredible to see them. Like you said, it's a very special thing to see it in a room like that.
Yeah, to see an act that really you would only see in a concert venue. Now you literally, ringside downtown is literally at the base of the stage.
You're right. And on top of that, having performed on that stage, there you have the possibility of knocking over somebody's drink.
Which is very true.
They're right there. They're like right there
exactly.
on the edge of the stage. But, you know, it's really great. I remember I've been there many times. And one of my favorites was my dad's favorite comedian.
Right.
Is Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
I took him a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And one night in particular, Gilbert was on fire. Yeah. Like, I mean, and he, and of course, that's 80% of the time when Gilbert gets on stage, he kills.
Uh-huh.
But for some, I don't know what was going on. And when he does the closing bit where he just starts telling jokes, that is just, I'm telling you, I thought my dad was going to fall over. And like the room, you were just talking about what it's like to be in a room when, you know, a comedian is killing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, well, like, the whole place was like shaking. It was amazing. Now, let's talk a little bit about how Old Town has changed over the years. When you first opened, when I first started going to Old Town when I was a kid, my parents would go in the late 60s, and there were a lot of different things there. There was the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum.
Bizarre across the street.
Right.
You had a number of head shops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were. Yes.
And a few X-rated places, not too many by the time I got there, but there was the Over 21 bookstore was still around. Down the street was Carol's, at that time the largest gay bar in Chicago.
Yeah,
which may have made it the largest gay bar in the country.
Yeah, and Piper's Alley was an actual alley.
It was an alley. That's right.
with
all sorts of little boutiques
and cobblestone, cobblestone rock, and then where the Boston Market is on the corner. That was Lum's when I was a kid.
Yeah, Lum's and then Wienerwald Chicken. Lum's is really going far
Lum's
back.
Well, that was when I was a little kid. My aunt used to waitress there.
Still Lum's when I got there in 1980.
And it's so, I mean, the neighborhood has changed quite a bit now. Do you guys have regular clientele? Do people?
Absolutely. Yeah. On any given show at Zany's, at least half of the audience will have been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And we have on Tuesday nights, we do what we call the Good Neighbor Night. It used to be just the neighborhood, but now we've gotten pretty lax. So if you live in Chicago, just come on down. And
it used to be the zip code, right?
Used to do zip. And then it just got so confusing because what they did was it used to be simple. 606-1011 or 14.
Yeah.
Then they added 606-57. Then 606-22 came in there. And then they gerrymandered all the zip codes.
Right, of course.
And we couldn't figure out which one. And so finally, now it's just come on down. Say hello to Graham. Graham's the manager. He'll introduce you. And now we have people that come in like every Tuesday night.
Oh, that's their night. That's really, really great. And the shows, you guys aren't dark at all. Like, you get seven nights a week.
We're only closed about 7 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every night, you have a chance to see a national headliner.
Yeah.
And I can say we're the only club in the country that 7 nights a week does national headliners.
Wow. That's great. It's so much fun. Now, there are contests. I want to get into this a little bit. You guys are having some 40th anniversary contests.
Well, we only have one left now. The other two are gone.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll talk about the one. Yeah. I love the one that is already that's already closed. But when we come back, the person who won the best story involves a colonoscopy, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's a good tease.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a break. Bert Haas is with us. He is the executive vice president of Zany, celebrating their 40th anniversary this year. Special shows, contests, all kinds of cool stuff. Always check out zanys.com for more information. And we're going to come back and talk more with Bert here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here, 18 stories above downtown Chicago. My guest is Bert Haas, is Executive Vice President of Zany's, celebrating their 40th anniversary this year with special shows and contests and all kinds of cool stuff. Bert, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Let's talk a little bit about some of your favorite memories. This is something that I would love to. What are some
I'm not sure I'm allowed to tell my favorite memories.
Okay. Well, stuff that's airable here on the show on WGN, like maybe certain nights that performers really did well or certain weird things that happened in the club, anything that pops into your mind.
Oh, well, there was, of course, the night that Eddie Murphy stopped in.
Wow.
And I was working the front door, and my bar manager grabs me, says, Bert, you got to come to the back of the club. It's Saturday night. We're jammed.
Yeah.
I'm pretending to work hard. And he great, come on, you got to come back. And I come back, and Paul Mooney's at the bar. And I go, hey, Paul, great to see you again. He goes, hey, I got a friend with me. He'd like to do some time.
Uh-huh.
And you want to make sure he gets on stage, Bert. I go, okay.
Mm. And then, Paul Mooney tells you that.
Yeah. And then he introduced me to Eddie Murphy, and that's how Eddie Murphy came in and did a set one night.
That's amazing.
And then, you know, there's times where different people have stopped in. I actually missed these shows. Aziz Ansari came and did three shows on a Thursday night. I was actually in Los Angeles, supposedly on vacation. My phone rings. Aziz is in town. He's working on the sets. He wants to do sets at your show.
Yeah.
Shows at your club.
Yeah.
Okay. I make the deal. I get my managers all lined up. I go, you guys are going to have to handle this. And three shows on a Saturday night, all full. He came in and he did them. And I did not meet him personally, but everyone said he was one of the nicest guys in the world.
Yeah. How often would that happen? I've read books about other comedy clubs where, you know, like big timers will come in.
It's a little tougher here in Chicago than it is in New York or LA, where they're already in town for media.
Right.
But whenever people are in town, you know, Roy Wood wanted to do a set by me when he was filming, especially here in town. And then I had a sold out show and I just couldn't put him up.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it happens pretty frequently. Yeah. You never know. Well, we always say that. You never know who's going to stop in. Hannibal's a regular guest by us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pat McGann will always stop in. Michael Isaac and Michael Palaszczuk is a regular. He'll just stop in.
Yeah.
And these are all local guys that have gone on to great things. Mm-hmm. And when they're in town, they stop by and say hello.
And so tell me a little bit about running the four clubs.
I only run the three in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
The fourth club in Nashville, that's independent.
Oh, okay.
That's run by my protege, Brian Dorfman, who might be listening tonight.
Okay. All right, Brian.
Brian's very sweet.
Yeah.
He says that I taught him everything he learned in the business, and I say I taught him everything I knew, and in spite of that, he's still successful.
Well, what's it like to run the three clubs? Is it booking difficult, or does it sometimes get a little crazy?
Yes, you know, you're dealing with, it's not the comedian so much as it's dealing with the middlemen, the agents and the managers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't always tell you the truth. You know, they have their own agenda.
Yeah.
And I have a pretty good relationship with most of them because I've been doing this for so long.
Yeah.
And some I can be very honest with and they're very honest with me. And then others we have to kind of sugarcoat it a little.
Yeah. Yeah, and now the other two clubs are not seven nights a week, right?
No, Rosemont's open five nights, and St. Charles is open just Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That's out at the Pheasant Run Resort.
Right, Pheasant Run. And that's been there for how long?
That is going to be celebrating its 30-year anniversary next year.
Is that right? Yeah. 30 years. Mm-hmm. And the Rosemont one opened like 2005?
6 years, 2012.
Yeah, it was more recent than that.
Yeah, it's only been 6 years.
Oh, it's only been 6 years, right. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about some of the other stuff that happens in the club. Now, I'm sure you've got stories. Hecklers is one thing, and I know that that's like one night I opened for Patty.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen anybody do this. And there was a woman who was sitting near the back, mm-hmm. you know, because for people who don't know, the bar is in the back. And a lot of the comedians sit in the back and watch the other people's sets. So I was always up first because I sucked.
No.
No.
We wanted the show to start off with a bang.
Exactly. So I'd come back and I'd watch the rest
he
of the
stinks.
Show.
He stinks.
So I'd come back and sit in the back and watch the show. And I noticed as the next comedian went up and then your featured went up, this woman was sitting with a group of people near the back but in front of me at a table. And she kept getting louder and, you know, drunker and more obnoxious. And by the time Patty came on, who was headlining, Patty was literally about 3 minutes into her set when this woman's just like screaming and yelling. Patty got off the stage. I'd never seen this before. Mm-hmm. Got off the stage, walked all the way to the back of the house with the mic, all the way to the back of the house, and was like right at her table and looked, I just started. Can you wait?
Yeah.
And she confronted her, but confronted her in a way that wasn't, I'm using the wrong word. She wasn't confrontational. She talked to her.
Right.
But she was really still obnoxious and obnoxious. She got quiet, and then eventually she had to be removed
mm-hmm.
from the premises. But the way that Patty handled that, I thought was great and interesting. And, you know, coming off the stage and, you know, no spotlight on her, just all the way in the dark of the room. And people turning their heads in the back trying to see what was happening. It was really, really cool. Now, over the years, I'm sure that you've had to have comedians deal with hecklers.
Yes. A combination of alcohol and the darkness of the room can make normally timid people very brave.
Exactly.
Plus, they don't always realize they're not whispering when they talk like this.
And again, as we've mentioned, the room is pretty, it's tight.
It's a small
it's a tight room. Yeah.
There's someone next to you almost no matter where you sit.
Right.
Yeah, I once saw Bobby Slayton introduced.
Oh, God. I can just imagine where this is going, Bobby Slayton.
Bobby did not even make it to the microphone, and someone in the front row made the mistake of saying something.
Oh, man.
Bobby didn't even take the microphone out of the stand, walked to the edge of the stage, and then talked to this guy as if it was it was the most incredible performance. He basically said, "Look, you don't want to mess with me. I will rip you a new one.
Yeah.
Shut up now and let me do my show."
Yeah.
And then the guy shut up and Bobby just walked to the microphone and started his act as if nothing had happened.
Yeah. Well, Bobby Slayton, you don't want to mess with Bobby Slayton. That's like the last guy in the world that you want to heckle is Bobby Slayton. I was there one night when Larry Reeb.
Oh, Larry Reeb's a master.
Larry Reeb was getting heckled. Yeah. And he turned it. It was hilarious. I mean, Larry Reeb's great. He's
an old pro, and he's done this a million times. And I always say to people, look, you're not going to win. Because, first of all, these guys are professionals.
Yeah.
You're not the first heckler they've dealt with.
Right.
And secondly, they have the microphone.
Right.
And they're up there. They get paid no matter what.
Right.
They get paid whether they do their act or whether they make a fool out of you.
Okay, hang on, Bert, okay? All right, Bert Haas is with us. He's the executive vice president of Zanies. They're celebrating their 40th anniversary this year. All kinds of great stuff happening. And you can check out zanies.com for more information. And we'll come back and talk more with Bert after this. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here on the 18th floor at 303 Wacker. And I'm joined by Bert Haas, Executive Vice President of Zanies, and Zanies celebrating their 40th anniversary this year. Check out zanies.com for more information. If they go to zanies.com, you can get schedules for all four of the clubs.
Whichever club you want to visit, you can find the schedule.
Okay. Well, Bert, congratulations on 40 years.
Thank you, Nick.
And I know that you've had some contests. The first contest was a story involving Zanies.
Right, which was that worked out real well. We had some wonderful stories submitted, and it was very difficult to choose. The second contest was my brainstorm.
This is your brainstorm.
This is my brainstorm.
Tell us about this one.
Well, I had this great idea. I'd seen this promotion probably 20 or 25 years ago. And thought it was a great idea. Whoever draws the best map to Zanies wins a grand prize.
The best map to Zanies?
The map. And I thought, well, this will be great because this will be a way for people to get creative. It'll be a way for people to learn where Zanies is. We'll make it into a whole contest. And it sounded fantastic. And I wish, you know, Rick, my boss, used to say, no idea is too stupid. I wish someone had said, Bert, this idea was too stupid. Because while it was a great idea when I saw someone else do it 25 years ago, in today's day and age with GPS and cell phones, you don't need maps anymore.
That's right.
And so the number of entries for that contest was an astounding zero.
Wait a minute. Whoa, wait a second. Zero?
Zero. And if you think about it, Nick, what are we, 5 years old in kindergarten?
Right.
Who uses maps anymore?
That's right.
We all have cell phones.
That's right. It's for the
Garmin
GPS
devices.
Oh,
it's
my
GPS.
God. Zero entries.
So I just want to say, anyone in your audience, had you submitted a map, I think the contest is closed at this time. Yeah. It might still be open. If you submit a map, you could very well win.
Very well win, yeah. By the way, Dan, my producer, just went on the website. It's listed as open on the website.
Oh, jeez. Maybe I shouldn't have. Oh, boy. I might have jumped the gun a little.
Well, people don't know how to draw maps anymore anyway. Uh-oh. That's true. Well, that was a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the contest that's still underway.
This is created by Dan Carlson, who was our general manager. Now we relocated him to Rosemont. He's our GM there. We have, we have original artwork on the walls that were done of the different comedians, and some people say, "Oh, it looks very 70s." Well, it was all done in the 70s and 80s,
right.
So it probably does. And so his idea was, "Well, let's have a contest for new artwork, and if you win, we'll hang your artwork at Zanies. We'll try and sell it online." And so that's what we have now. It's an open.
It's open to anybody.
It's open to anybody.
And it's artwork that represents Zanies.
And we want it to represent comedy. It doesn't necessarily have to be about Zanies.
Okay.
I really didn't want a picture of the Scream hanging right. at Zanies. I didn't think that was appropriate. So let's have a comedy influence.
How can people, they can go onto the website.
Go online. It's all
online. It's all online at Zanies.
Yeah. You see, Nick, because people don't do things with pencil and paper anymore, there's this thing called the internet.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
Apparently, neither was Bert.
So who are like the regulars that we've mentioned, you know, Patty and Larry, these guys?
Pat McGann is a big favorite of ours. Yeah. Michael Palaszczuk, of course, is great.
Yeah. And you know, Pat McGann, I just want to mention Pat is one of the best at working with the crowd. Like he is.
This is what I'm going to say. I think Pat is the fourth best crowd work person I've ever seen in 40 years, and the first three are Paula Poundstone, Jay Leno, and Jimmy Brogan.
Mm.
And that's pretty good company.
It's great company. Yeah. I always, whenever I see Pat on national
TV, he is
TV,
amazing.
He's unbelievable in the room. And, and almost all of my appearances at Zanies, he was the MC. And he's great.
He says things that if you or I said them to a person, we would get punched in the mouth, and the person laughs. It goes, "Oh God, he's so funny!
Yeah.
How did he get away with that?"
Well, he's charming and he's great. Yeah. And then you know, like whenever he shows up on, you know, like he was on Letterman, he did an appearance on Corden, and then I always root for the guy because I think he's not only really funny but a really nice man.
Yes, he is. He's a good person.
He is. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. Now, let me ask you this: I understand that I think you've had a few people work the club, not on stage, but as waiters or waitresses who would eventually go on to some success.
The most famous one is Amy Sedaris.
Amy Sedaris, yes.
And she tells a wonderful story about me firing her.
I know the story.
Yes.
How accurate is that story?
You know, she's a wonderful storyteller. Yes. Let me see if I... Yes, she did work for us. And I have nothing but admiration both for her as a comedian. And actually, she's a pretty darn good waitress.
Mm-hmm.
Or server.
Yeah, server, right.
Unfortunately, after about... she was very young and very bright. And after about 3 months, she thought she could run the club better than I knew how to do it. And I wasn't afraid to let everybody know that.
Mm.
And so she and I butted heads. And I was much younger then, and I, you know, it's funny, Nick, because as you get older, you find out that things you thought were important in your 20s really aren't that
important.
You're
absolutely right. I understand that completely.
And so we butted heads. I'm sure if we saw each other, we'd probably give each other a big hug. She's a very bright lady, and she's gone on to a great career.
Gone on to great success. Yeah. And I think she's nuts. I think she's a little nuts.
She might be. I don't know.
I mean, that's one of the things I like about her. I think she's crazy, and I kind of like that. But yeah, the story that she tells about working at Zanies is a pretty funny one.
It's so funny you say that because right before I came to your show, I was with Dobie Maxwell and Kevin Naughton hanging out at the club.
Oh man!
And Dobie Maxwell's theory is that all comedians are dented cans. They're the dented cans of the groceries.
Yeah.
And as we're sitting around talking, Kevin Naughton starts telling the story about how his dad went to prison when he was 7. For shooting the neighbor.
What?
and then we started telling stories, and I'm just laughing because I'm going, man, these guys, they're dented cans, but boy, are they funny.
Yeah, that's amazing. So who's coming up? Who you got coming up at any of the locations?
Sure. End of August, we've got Frank Caliendo coming in for one night. These are just some of the legends that are coming in. Mm-hmm. I know we have Bobby Slayton coming back in October. Mm-hmm. Daryl Hammond will be there in November. Emo's coming back. Jake Johansson. And then some of the Jermaine Fowler's coming up at the end of next month from Superior Donuts.
Yeah, he's great.
Yes, he's been there before. And again, that's one of the great things about Zanies. Jermaine started working for us 3 or 4 years ago when he was a stand-up comedian that we thought was really good.
Yeah.
We didn't know he was going to become a television star.
Yeah.
And now he's still coming back, and we appreciate that.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really great. You know who else is a regular at Zanies who I had the pleasure of working? Because I got to work with a lot of really cool people when you let me up on your stage. Dwayne Kennedy.
Dwayne's going to be there this week.
I
think he is one of the most underrated comedians in the country.
No question about it.
Yes.
And I have to say, one of the nicest guys that I worked with.
Super nice. If anything, too nice for his own good. And people say, well, why hasn't he had greater... So he's done everything you can do, but no one really knows him. And I think it's just because he's so laid
back. He's brilliant, too. Yeah. He's really brilliant. But he took me aside, you know, because he knew that I hadn't done it. Right. I wasn't very experienced. And he took me... He could probably tell I wasn't. And he took me aside. He gave me some advice. He told me about crafting stuff. And he was... He didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? Like, he was the headliner. He didn't have to pull the guy aside. But he did that. And he's also really, really, really funny.
Yeah, very funny, very smart.
Do you have like scouts go out and look for people, or how do the comedians do? They just come to you?
Yes.
At this point,
the closest thing I have to scouts are there's always a grapevine. People go, "Oh, Bert, you got to check this guy out."
Right.
And it's always been that way. I can remember going back 40 years, people go, "Oh, man, did you hear about this guy named Jay Leno? You got to check him out." Or, "Oh, the Seinfeld, yeah, we heard good things about him."
Yeah.
So it's always been like that. There's always someone coming, "Oh, this, hey, did you see Lewis Black? Lewis Black, he's funny."
Mm.
And so that's one way. I have a few agents that I talk to that I trust.
Right.
They've known me a long time. They've been in my rooms. They know what I look for.
Right.
And then mostly it's just getting out there and watching comedy.
Now, after the big boom in the 80s and in the early 90s, Zanies, you know, did Zanies have any trouble at that point?
We were, the late 80s were a tough time for us. You know, it was tough getting started. Then we had a nice little run in the 80s. Then it was slow in the 90s. And then it started to pick up again. And now we're kind of in this other, I don't want to call it the boom, but there's a great awareness. What's happened is people are aware that stand-up comedy is an American art form.
Yeah.
And there's now with the podcast and the, you know, talking with comedians and all these different shows, people go, "Wow, this is an art form. There's more to this than just the guy getting on stage, you know, just telling old street jokes."
Right, right. Well, it's a great, I mean, look, it's a legendary place, Bert. Congratulations
Thank
on
you very
40
much.
Years, and I've been proud to be a part of it.
It was a pleasure having you.
And just going there and seeing all these acts and everything, and I can't believe it's been 40 years. but congratulations, man. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. You have so many great stories, and Zanies is just great.
Nick, you're one of my favorite people in Chicago.
Oh, I appreciate that. Bert Haas, everybody, vice president of Zanies, celebrating their 40th anniversary this year. Contest is still happening. Lots of legends coming back and up-and-comers as well. Mm-hmm. Check out zanies.com for more information. Bert, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with the news after this on WGN.